Thank you for tuning in to Rightly Dividing a Word of Truth, and we're in lesson 20 of Matthew, and it's Matthew chapter 6 that we're in. And if you will, Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand knoweth what the right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and their Father which see in secret himself shall reward thee openly. In Matthew chapter 6, we just finished chapter 5, which was what we talked about, the constitution of the kingdom program. This is a continuation of the righteous living in the kingdom under a new covenant. Okay, they're going to continue some things. The law was written, is going to be written in their hearts over there and apply to the details of their life. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, that last verse that we went over last lesson. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is what? Perfect. That perfect is completed. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That is a high standard. Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, He's given them a standard through the law. Remember He said, it has been said, but I'm telling you this. So He takes it a different level, the law, in a way that makes it more honorable to live by the law. But when He says your Father in heaven is perfect, that is a high standard. And the kingdom saints will be instructed throughout chapter 6 to set their sights and standards like the God in heaven, the God the Father in heaven. So now they got a higher standard, which is in heaven. And this verse, what we just read, chapter 6, 1 through 4, the subject is giving alms. And again, it should be out of what? A pure heart motivation. Okay, that's the way you want to give it. Even in a kingdom program, you need to do that. Even in the grace program we live now, you're not under no rules and regulations to give. It should come from what? Your heart. You're what you want to give. Okay? Not because I need a new car or anything like that. Just joking. But you do it because you want to do it. And then it's a heart motivation. Not giving as to show to please men, but do it unto the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 11 says, for whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be what? Exalted. So, you know, not go out here and please men. And in 1 Peter, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, 9, and 13, it talks about them being beget into a inheritance. That's what they're going to get by doing what God tells them to do, an inheritance. But in verse 2, let me ask you this right quick. Verse 2, Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. What is the reward in verse 2? When these guys are paying their alms, it says, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be have glory of what? And it says down there, it says, and they have their reward. So what is their reward? That's right. To be seen in me. Look at me. I'm on the who's list of the church, and my name's at the top for what I give. With me? Or they're out in the streets saying, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. God said, don't do that. Go to chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they should be heard for their, what? Much speaking. Once again, when you pray, when they pray in a kingdom, they pray again, pray unto who? The Father in heaven, okay? And not like men who did it to show or to be seen of men. Now, many of us just come out of certain types of religion, and that's all they want to be, isn't it? All they want to do is show who they are, that they're holier than thou. And they walk around in these places and standing in their synagogues and in the corner of the street just to be seen who I am. That's a wrong motivation, isn't it, for us today? Do not use vain, empty words over and over again. Okay? Once again, what is the reward in that verse up there? Glory of man. Just to be seen. Just to be seen of man. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye have asked. Be not like therefore like unto men. Who is the hypocrites in verse 5? And the heathen, that's what it says. Be ye therefore like unto them. Okay? Don't be like the hypocrites. And then verse 8, verse 7, like the heathen. That's what God's telling them. Your Father knows your needs, does he not? According, okay, look at Matthew chapter 26. Yes. Matthew 26, it says, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. Matthew 26, verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as who? Thou will. Lord Jesus Christ is praying to who? The Father. Once again, verse 42. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thou will be done. The Father knows exactly what he wants to give the children. Okay, but the Lord Jesus Christ is praying and he's wanting to get a cup to pass. Look at verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Now, we just got through talking about vain repetition, not to repeat our Father without in heaven and all that. You know, we're going to get to that. Here's Jesus Christ prayed it three times, same words. Okay, but he's asking the Father. He knows what the Father's will is. But let me ask you this. What did Paul, go to 2 Corinthians, hold your finger there in Matthew, go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12. That verse in Matthew says, but know ye therefore like unto them, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye have asked them. Boy, we're going to 2 Corinthians. I just read chapter 6 of Matthew. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you think about this a lot of times. Do we not, we may think I'm childish. Sometimes we listen to little children pray to God and they're asking for little kitty cats and things. We say, oh, how cute. But to them, it's more than cute. Okay? They're asking God the Father for some things. Okay? And I know if you're like me, you ask God the Father for a lot of things too. And it's not necessarily mean he's going to give them to you, But it's good to talk to your dad, isn't it? You know, you can talk to him. But look what Paul says in verse 8. Okay? For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. Here's another person is praying to God three times for this thing to depart from him. Okay? In verse 9, he said unto him, go into the synagogues and wash your feet, or wash your hands, and be baptized 14 times, and then I'll give it to you. Is that what he says? No. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's response was, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He didn't argue with the Father, did he? He didn't argue with God. He said, okay, most gladly, therefore. That's a good verse to rest on because, you know, we might get stubborn sometimes and say, well, you owe me, God. You know, I'm doing everything you tell me to do, but I'm not getting nothing. But most gladly, therefore, you know, my grace is sufficient. You know, I tell people all the time, and you may agree or disagree, if you really get what you deserve, you know, it wouldn't be grace. It wouldn't be grace. Go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9 through 13. After this manner. What manner? That you just read in verse 8. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgave our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, how many of us heard that prayer and probably prayed that prayer many a times in our life, haven't we? Okay. Do you know, I hope you know by now, but some that are listening may not know, this is a Jewish prayer. This is not the Lord's prayer. The Lord's prayed on over there. But this is a Jewish prayer for the little flock during a time that's going to come a lot of trouble over him over there. Times of Jacob trouble, they're going to have to pray this. And by the way, it is an official prayer of the RCC, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay? And they leave off a lot of things towards the end of that. But look at this. Pray after this manner. The Father knoweth. Okay? The Father knows your will, or His will. Our Father. Wonder who that is. Whose Father is that, by the way? Who's the book written to? Israel. Okay? He's Israel's father. Go with me to Exodus chapter 4. Let's look at some verses. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Verse 22. And they shall say unto Pharaoh, this is the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And he said unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, who is God's firstborn? Israel. That's his son. And by the way, his firstborn, when you get on a subject talking about born again, and people asked you, are you born again? You know what I asked them? When was you born the first time? This is where Israel was born the first time. That's why they had to be born again, a spirit and a flesh over there. But they was born the first time right there. Go to Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11, right after Daniel.
So that's where
That's where they was first born. Okay? That's a good way you can ask people. Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. When Israel was a child, Then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them, and they sacrificed unto Balaam and burnt incense to graven images. My son out of what? Egypt. God's calling Israel his what? His son. So would you not say, our father? Okay? Not our father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64 and Isaiah 63. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are the work of Thy hand. Isaiah 63, verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father. Through Abraham be ignorant of us, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. Another verse talking about who is Israel's father. God. Okay? Look at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Verse 9. Thou shalt come with weeping, and with supplication will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in the straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Who's the father to them? Go back to Matthew. God is. Okay? Our father. It's Israel's father.
At that point, he's not the Gentiles God.
Well, he's always been the Gentiles' God if they wanted to serve him. But this verse right here is referring to our fathers, is a Jewish prayer that they're going to pray over in the tribulation period. Look at verse 2. Matthew chapter 6, not verse 2, but which art in heaven, our Father which art in heaven. Israel's Father moved the kingdom of heaven, which art in heaven. He moved the kingdom of heaven when he gave Israel up to the Gentiles. Let me share something with you right quick and about this one situation here. When did God give Israel up to the Gentiles?
After they
rejected Christ.
Okay,
That's spiritually, okay? But when did God give up Israel to the Gentiles? Book of Daniel.
Oh, Daniel.
Okay, I was going to say Book of Daniel. Listen, okay, I'm going to share something with you right quick. Daniel deals, chapter 1, he deals with the captive along with his friends, okay? Chapter 2 lays out the entire course of the times of the Gentiles, okay? Chapter 7 is, of course, laid out on the images of the four grotesque beasts. And Jeremiah 25 and Daniel chapter 21 talks about the third year when Daniel is writing from Babylon. Okay? And Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, and Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 4, a fall of Israel politically. The times of the Gentiles began that the king of Nebuchadnezzar, when God gives king of Jews over to King Nebuchadnezzar. That's when they fall, politically. Okay? No other time has God ever gave the nation Israel over to a Gentile king until this time right there. And we're still in the times of the Gentiles, whether you want to believe it or not. Okay? Listen. Up to this point, no nation controlled all the other nations. Only Israel's claim was to be head of all the nations. Okay, Israel's God had stopped Israel's world leadership until the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is when they get it back. Okay, politically. Okay, politically. Now look. Daniel chapter 1 verse 2, God has set Israel aside politically. Ezekiel, we went over this a couple lessons ago. Ezekiel chapter 21, politically, the crown was taken from Israel and will not return again until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Politically, they're not in control. Even though you may thought they was when they got back into Babylon, they started building stuff back, God was not with them politically. He left them. And Psalms 97 is a picture of the second coming of Christ. In Malachi 4:13, and in Daniel, Israel has been set aside politically. However, they are not set aside spiritually. Okay? Politically, they lost the government control. Even though, but the men sit in those places and look at me. You know, and all that stuff, we're trying to gain that. But God politically was not there. We looked at some of these things and the three steps of Israel politically. If I pronounce these kings right, Joachim, 2 Chronicles 36, 5 through 9. Then you got Joachim, okay, same chapter. And then you got Zedekiah, he was a blind king. God left them. We know also that God gets up from the throne in Ezekiel chapter 3. The glory of God of Israel leads the cherubim to the house, goes over to the threshold of the house, and then departs the house, and he's out in the mountains, gone. 1, 2, 3. Okay? Spiritually, if you want to know what Israel's fell, when John the Baptist, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did they do to him? Cut his head off. Then Lord Jesus Christ, crucify him. Strike 2. Then the stoning of Stephen. Strike 3. That's spiritually, God left them spiritually, the nation Israel. He raises up Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, 3 steps withdrawal of God in a spiritual aspect that said, behold, I shall go to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 9. 18, go to the Gentiles. Acts 28, I'm gone to the Gentiles. So spiritually, the nation Israel has fallen. Politically, they have fallen. That's why... wait a minute. Back up here. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, our Father without in where? Heaven. Before, where was He? He's in a mercy seat. He was in a tabernacle. He was in... all that, but He's up in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. In Ezekiel 36, verses 21, God was doing this for His holy name's sake. He wasn't doing it for your holy name's sake or Israel's holy name. He's doing it, and you look at that verse that I just shared, Ezekiel 36, He talks about, I'm going to do it for My name's sake. Let's turn there real quick. That's something you might need to see. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 21. But I had pity for that, for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned from the profound amongst the heathen, whether they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, this saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for My holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whether ye went. And you read on down there, I will sanctify My great name. I am the Lord. I will take, I bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on. God's doing it for His name's sake. Because Israel wasn't doing it. And many people are not doing it today in the dispensation of grace for His name's sake either. They're doing it for their own namesake, you know. Back to Matthew. Thou kingdom come. We're going to break this down a little bit, and I'm going to share this with you. Thou kingdom come, thou will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This believing remnant of praying for God to bring the kingdom back to the earth. Thou will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's total righteousness. And this is an earthly prayer for who? What kind of people? An earthly people, yeah. So you're going to pray the heaven to come down because that's where God said He's going to set it up for the nation of Israel. Okay? Give us this day our daily bread. That's Lamentations chapter 5. Okay, in Matthew chapter 6. God will feed them with manna for 3.5 years, just like He did when He brought their fathers out of Egypt in the wilderness. Okay. He does the same thing over here. Now, once you study this, what happened over here, and see what's going on over here, this is a dress rehearsal for what's going on over here. Many of us has been in plays. Okay, we know that you got to, you know, there may be just a few of you, I don't know, that can just say, "Hey, here's a script. Be at the play the night of the performance, and you're in there, right?" No, what do? You have dress rehearsals. You know, you do things. Brock's going to be soon going out on the stage, and he's got, I guarantee you right now, he's studying and he's working, he's performing, he's dress rehearsal, and that day will happen over here when he has it. Israel, when God fed him in the wilderness, is a dress rehearsal for what is going to happen over here. The little flock will not take the mark of the beast, by the way, over here, in their hand or the forehead, so they will not be able to buy and sell. You understand that? So somebody's got to feed them. Okay. Thus God provide them their daily bread. And forgive us our debt as we forgave our debtors. This is a national... Once again, let me ask you this. If you've been studying about Israel, was God using Israel as a national group of people or individual? National. Okay? So when they did things, they did it as a group. Okay? When one person sinned in that group, it affected them all. Okay? And the national Israel forgiveness of others are based on their works. In Matthew 18 and Joshua chapter 7 and 2 Chronicles chapter 7, okay, this is showing you what had happened in times past when one person took something and God told them not to, it affected the whole battle plan. Okay? It affected the whole battle plan. And God deals with Israel as a commonwealth. Anybody familiar with commonwealths? I was born in a commonwealth. Okay? It's ruled by the people. Okay? It's not ruled by one person. The people has the say. Okay? And you work it as the people. Okay? And that's how God treats Israel, as a commonwealth. And one sin by a person, like I shared with you, is charged to the whole nation. John the Baptist, we just said mentioned that. They cut his head off. Charged to the whole nation. Lord Jesus Christ, they crucified him. Charged to the whole nation. They stoned Stephen. Charged to the whole nation. And when Peter got up and preached to him in Acts chapter 2, he's preaching to the nations. There's 15 nations there, and they're all Jews. As they led us and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, they're praying for deliverance from the Antichrist and all the evil things he will do to them. You'd be praying for deliverance from evil too. Many of us probably still do today. Lord, please don't let me go to my boss man this week. He's evil. Just joking. You know, but you know what I'm saying? You're praying deliverance, but that has to do with over there. For thou is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You get this right here. There's a certain sect of people out there that leaves this off of their Lord's Prayer and the other Bible versions. Okay, look at 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thou, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty and for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou is a kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalt as head above all. Thou is a kingdom and a power and a glory forever. That was 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 11. Turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Verses 14 and 15. For if ye forgive man their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Once again, forgiveness is a national work for Israel there. Okay? Because when Christ was put to death on a cross, Christ prayed to God, Father, forgive them. We know what He says. Father, forgive them, for they know what to do. God the Father honored that prayer for Jesus Christ. He did forgive them. Okay? What they did to the man of God. And in the tribulation, saints go through and preach the righteousness of God. They too will be persecuted. And God wants the little flock to forgive their persecutors just like Christ did to them. Now, you know, is it good to forgive people? You know, and, you know, forgive them of their trespasses and things like if they do you wrong, you just say, okay, you know, I forgave you. You know, I tell people I forgive them because Christ forgave me. You know, I tell people all the time, I love you because Christ loved me. May not have to like you, but I love you because of Christ is in me loving you. But the little flock is to forgive their persecutors just like Christ did. And this is how, well, we should forgive others, should we not, in the dispensation of grace. But when they go over there, when Jesus Christ, once again, when Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know what to do. Okay? God did forgive the nation Israel. Okay? But that's when He said, but if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, you'll not be forgiven in this world or world to come. But God did forgive them, and I believe He extended the program a year. In Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 7, 8, is 1 year in your Bible. And a parable of fig tree talks about dunging it for 1 year to produce fruit. And He gave Israel another opportunity to do right in God, and they failed.
When they stoned Stephen,
they blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. Until next week.